Christ.
Of course, for many months, we have been worshiping online, virtually. Thank God we can worship online. We can still worship the Lord. But nothing like seeing one another face to face. Worshiping online is like looking at a photograph. And if you have a loved one, someone you love dearly, would you just be contented with looking at his or her photo? Of course, there must be this yearning to see the person, right? Face to face, physically. That is best of all. And thank God we can now meet together as you do right now in Tengah. We still cannot. Our Chinese worship service at True Life meets weekly. Our full regular service for the Chinese, because we have a smaller congregation, but the English still cannot meet or worship physically in a regular way, because congregation is sizable and we can only meet in small groups. So now we just have communion services, and they just come for 45 minutes to an hour for Holy Communion, and then once a month. But the online services must remain and must continue. How we pray for the day when all can gather together to worship the Lord as before. So right now we just have to be patient and to wait on the Lord. And the Lord tells us, yes, despite all the terrible things that are happening in the world today, we are told not to be afraid. Verse 20, over here, Jesus said unto his disciples, "It is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid." I think fear is something very real. Fear is something very human. I'm sure there are many times we have felt fearful or afraid. And there are a lot of things in life that can make us fearful or afraid. I mean, this COVID-19 pandemic has brought a whole lot of paranoia to the world. Everybody is so fearful, afraid. And even though now churches are open and can worship, there are those who refuse to come back to worship. They're still afraid of being infected, so they rather stay home. There are some who are still fearful to that extent. And then day in, day out, right, through the social media or through television, we have been bombarded with all these messages, how, you know, this virus is dangerous and deadly, and then we get programmed to think in this way and become very fearful. And when we hear of somebody going for a swab test, or we, you know, red bells, red alarm begin to sound. And we think that this person has, you know, is now sort of a leper, unclean, better keep away from him. So such things happen. And we become fearful. And this pandemic that leads to paranoia can also result in paralysis. We cannot function anymore because we are so gripped by fear, chained up, imprisoned by fear. I don't think we need to be so fearful until we cannot function anymore. And there are many other things in life that can cause us to be so afraid we just do nothing, right? Or we become so terrified that, you know, we have no peace in mind and heart. Things like exams. And now a lot of our children, our students, have major exams, the O and A levels. Exams can bring a lot of fear, anxiety, and worry. Our FEBC students also going to have exams soon. But I trust they are not fearful, because studying God's Word is enjoyable. They are looking forward to the exams. I hope that's the case. Right, Stephen? But other examinations, oh, we are so afraid. We are afraid to fail. Now, that's one of the fears as well. Afraid of failure, afraid of rejection. All these things can make us very afraid. And then also, sickness and disease, especially the serious and severe kind like cancer, can bring a lot of fear into our lives, right? And yes, I know how it feels. So these things, and feeling afraid is very human. We are plagued by such weaknesses, not only physically, but psychologically, mentally, emotionally. We are plagued by such weaknesses. Can we overcome them? Or must we succumb? We don't want to succumb to fears. We want to overcome the fears that we have. And yes, we can. We can overcome them. And the Bible tells us how we can deal with fear so that we defeat this debilitating hindrance, right, to our life. It can sometimes paralyze us so that we can do nothing. No, we can do something for the Lord if we live confidently in Him. And when we have the Lord Jesus in our life, we can overcome fear. And that's why here the Lord Jesus told the disciples who were very afraid, "Do not be afraid, it is I. It is I." And the focus here is on the I. It's all about Christ. Right? When we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith will cast out all fears. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Be not afraid. It is I. And what does this I mean? What does this I tell us about the Lord Jesus? Well, there are three things that the Lord is trying to tell us over here. In the context of fear, how we ought not to live in fear. So don't be afraid, it is I. Know who I am and what I can do. You don't have to be afraid because I am your provider. I am your protector. And I am your preserver. The Lord in this passage teaches us these three things about Him. In and of ourselves, we will be afraid. Indeed. Because we are so weak, so frail, many things we can't do. But if we have the Lord Jesus in our life, we can be sound and steady and stable because He is our rock and our fortress, our anchor, our high tower. So we must know, right? We must know in our minds, in our hearts, who the Lord Jesus is and what He can do. And that will keep us from being afraid of the many things that can bring about fear in our lives. So know that the Lord is provider, protector, and preserver. So let's deal with the first one. The Lord Jesus is our provider. And this we find in verse 5 to verse 13. Now, please know that before this event, when Jesus told His disciples, "Be not afraid, it is I," well, there was this miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And here Jesus proves how He is our provider. He provides for our physical needs. And here Jesus was up on the mountain, and after He gave a long sermon, preaching and teaching the people, well, The Lord Jesus had pity on the people, for it was already late in the day and they were hungry. And he told his disciples, go and get food for them. But 5,000, that's a whole lot of food. A whole lot of money is required. How to feed all the 5,000? And mind you, it's 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. You count the women and children, it may double that number. But anyway, the Lord told the disciples, you go and find food for them. And here, you know, we have Philip telling the Lord Jesus, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And that's a whole lot of money. Let's say if today, let's say one simple meal, $2, 5,000 will be how much you need to spend. Be $10,000, right? And that's just $2. But nowadays, can you get chicken rice for $2? Maybe in some places you can. But it'll be more than $10. Or one McDonald's meal will be $4 or $5. Can easily double, triple that amount. That's a whole lot of money. Where are we going to get all this money to buy food for so many? But the Lord tells us, be not afraid. It is I. I can provide. Of course, the Lord is testing his disciples here. And then when he asked them, go and see what food you have. And one little boy came with his lunch bag, his lunch box, just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, what is this for so many? Well, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. Jesus, who is creator God himself, who created the whole universe, surely he is powerful enough to provide and supply. And so Jesus, as you know, commanded the disciples to cause all the multitudes to sit in groups of 50, 100. And then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, gave thanks to God, and then broke bread and distributed the bread and also the fish. And you must imagine how the Lord was continuously doing that, breaking bread nonstop, 5 loaves. And the 5 loaves did not just remain 5 loaves. 5 became 10, 10 became 20, 20 become 40, 50, 100. And he kept breaking the bread and laid it before the people, and they all ate. And if they wanted second helping, they could still ask for more. And the Lord will continue to provide and supply. Not only, you know, what we need, the Lord supplied even above and beyond their needs. He fed them until they are so full they can't eat anymore. That's how the Lord fed them. And so after, you know, everyone has eaten and they were so full and could not eat anymore, there was leftovers. You see, the Lord was so generous to them. Not stingy at all. Very generous to provide as much as they needed, as much as they wanted. So they ate to the full. And then later on, the Lord told the disciples, go and collect all the fragments, all the leftovers. And when they collected everything back, how many? How many remaining? Well, 12 baskets full of remaining fragments. Still good food. And the Lord was trying to tell the disciples, you see, I can feed the 5,000 and more, I can also feed you. And whatever is left over, there are 12 baskets full. There are 12 disciples, or each one of you, you see, have one basket full. You can have it for your supper and also for tomorrow. You see, you don't have to worry. God provides for our needs. And He knows all our needs. He knows way ahead of time. He's a God who provides. And the word provide is significant. You know the meaning of the word provide? The literal meaning? Well, the word provide comes from two Latin words. Pro, meaning before, and vide. Vide is where we get the word video, right? To see, to view, to watch. So literally, provide, provide means to see or to know ahead of time, to see beforehand. And our God is the God of providence. In other words, He knows. He sees way ahead of time. He knows way ahead of time your needs and my needs. And having known, He knows how to prepare. To prepare what is necessary for us so that when the time comes, we have a good supply, right? Our needs will be met and we will suffer no lack. So who could have predicted that there will be this COVID-19 crisis that has brought the world to its knees? And with the health crisis has come an economic crisis. Many losing their jobs, unemployment on the rise. Who could have foreseen that? No one could foresee it. No one foresaw it. In fact, everybody was thinking everything will be normal, business as usual, right? And they have 5-year plans. They have 10-year plans. Now, this year, I will make so much money. Next year, I will make my millions. And a decade later, I will make my billions. I will go to this city. I will go to that city. And they think that things will be as per normal, business as usual. And suddenly, this strikes. And so many of the big stores and big companies have to close down. Robinson, after 100 years, have to close down. Nobody could foresee. And God is telling us, you people have to be, don't be proud. You better humble yourself before me. Because I'm the one who knows. You think you can provide for your own needs. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. But I know, I can see all things, I know all things. And that's why we don't want to be confident in ourselves. Let us not be confident in ourselves. Let us be confident only in the Lord Jesus. And what is comforting over here is the Lord cares for us. And how we thank the Lord that even during this time, although there is famine today, pay cuts, and there are those who lose their jobs, God can still provide for our needs. And God has provided. You may have experienced God's good provision in your life. And I have members in True Life Church that have testified for the Lord, and they are so grateful and thankful to the Lord for providing them, even in such difficult times and impossible times, because not easy to find a job, especially if you are past middle age. And so we have one member in the church, and during the time of the lockdown, the company was not doing well, and because he was already quite old, the company says, you have to go. He was retrenched. And he was, of course, a little worried because he has a family. The daughter was still in school, in university. And so he has needs. But he prayed to the Lord. He trusted the Lord, although retrenched. And he was already past middle age. Who would hire him? Difficult to find employment if you are a fresh graduate from university or you are still young. It's much easier. But if you're old, in your late 50s or 60s, how can you find a job? In fact, there are people told him it's impossible for you to get a job now. Impossible. Anyway, he prayed. And the Lord, you see, the Lord knows way ahead of time that you will be retrenched. You will lose your job. And you have needs. And after he got retrenched, although his colleagues told him, oh, now how? Impossible for you to find a job. But after he was retrenched, shortly after he was retrenched, he got a phone call from his ex-colleague, from a friend, from another company. Says, my company has a vacancy open, a position open, as along the same lines as what you have done before in your previous work. Are you interested? Of course, he was overjoyed. God heard his prayers. And he got that job. And there are those who say, wow, this is a miracle. There are those who told him, wow, it's a miracle you found a job. Well, the word is providence, right? God provided. God saw ahead of time, already prepared a new job for him in this new company. And he's 1 month into his job, and he says he's so happy right now where he is and how the Lord has provided for him and granted him that kind of security. You see, God provides. We can't see it. Sometimes we worry because we can't see ahead. But don't be afraid. God sees ahead. And God is interested in you because you are his child. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us as much as he will feed the sparrows, the birds in the air, right? And they don't do any work. They don't do any farming. They fly here and there. And yet every day, they somehow they can find food. God provides for them. And then God clothes the flowers in the field. And if God so clothes the flowers and feed the sparrows and the birds, we who are his children, don't you think he will take even greater care of us? Sure. So don't be afraid. It is I. No, I am your Savior. I am your God. And you have a Father in heaven who is all-knowing. And he will provide for all your needs. Don't have to worry. So this is the first thing we learn from here. Be not afraid. It is I. I am your provider. The second thing we learn over here is this. We learn that the Lord is not only our provider, he is also our protector. Be not afraid. It is I. I am your protector. And this we find from verse 16 to 21. And here we find the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. They got into a boat and were making a trip to the other side as Jesus told them to. And the Sea of Galilee, usually it is very calm and peaceful, right? But the Sea of Galilee can suddenly become treacherous and dangerous. And those of you who have been to the Holy Land may have seen the sea, but 9 out of 10 times, right, we see the sea as very calm. I wonder how many of you have been to the Holy Land, you have seen the Sea of Galilee very turbulent. Anyone here? You know, I've been to the Holy Land many times. I lost count how many times. And each time we go, we take the Jesus boat on the Sea of Galilee. And every time I wish there was a storm, just for the experience. You know? But we have rain, but no storm. And no, you know, big winds and big waves, none. But something like this can suddenly happen in the Sea of Galilee because it's the Sea of Galilee on the north And on the east, right, on the eastern side, mountains. And suddenly, if there's a gush, right, a rush of wind, you know, and the Sea of Galilee is in a valley, and the wind comes down very quickly, it can stir up the waters. And then the waves will rise, and you know, and the sea becomes very, very turbulent, and it is a very dangerous situation. Boats can sink, and you can drown. So there was such a situation over here, for we see in verse 18, and they had been rowing all this while, getting to the other side, and still could not get to the other side because the wind was contrary, right, to them, blowing against them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So no matter how hard they rowed their boat, it was still at the same place. And then we are told they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. That's about 5 kilometers, right, worth of rowing, of distance they have covered, but still could not get anywhere. That's a whole lot of work they have done, but got nowhere. And then comes Jesus. Be not afraid. It is I. It is I. And here we find Jesus demonstrating his power over nature. Right? I have power over the winds and the waves. And just one word from my mouth is enough to calm the sea, to still the storm. Indeed, that was what Jesus did. Peace, be still. So don't be afraid. And there are things in life that can, you know, cause our heart to be all topsy-turvy, to be so turbulent, so disturbed. And we are gripped by a whole lot of fear because of, you know, things that happen in our life. So how to find peace? Well, you have to know who Jesus is. Do you trust in him? Do you know who he is and what he can do? He is your Savior. He is Creator himself. And just one word from his mouth, everything will be settled. And Jesus says, it is I. So don't be afraid. I'm your protector. And I can protect you from all harm and danger, all harm and evil. I can save you even from death. Indeed, that is the case. I think many a time, and you may have experienced this yourself, how you are, you know, you're facing danger. At that very moment, and you think your life is about to end, and then suddenly the Lord plucked you out of danger. I had one experience like this, and that was about 30 over years ago when I was in the United States, when I went for my further studies at Grace Seminary, and Jemima was also studying at the time. And we were attending this church out in the suburbs, in the country, in the countryside. And on the Lord's Day after service, we were making our way home. And I was driving a 10-year-old Datsun, right? 4-cylinder engine, old Datsun, quite rusty already. Still moving, but not very powerful. And also there was some problem with the gear, with the stick shift, right? It was not really catching, so also it affected the power of the car. But it was still moving, chugging along, bone shaker. I bought it for $500 US, right? Here you can't even buy a bicycle, right? Over there you can buy a car, used one. And so we were making our way home after service, And we were on this country lane, and it will, and there's a T-junction, turn into the main road. And this T-junction was had a very acute corner, so you can't see the car coming from here, right? And but you have to turn, I had to turn left onto that main road. But I couldn't see, right, whether there was a car coming from that side. You just have to hope for the best, right? And so, since it's on a Sunday, well, I thought not much traffic, not many cars. It was on the, it was a country road, and so I was pulling out to make this left turn, and then when I went out, I saw, right, one huge car. It's an 8-cylinder. Mine's only a 4-cylinder, no fight. It's like David and Goliath. An 8-cylinder V8 car, American-made. Mine, Japanese, tin can. This American-made car is really heavy. You know V8 engines? Have you seen gangster movies before? They like to drive these big cars, V8 cars. I think it was a Buick. Speeding, coming at me very fast. And he was just maybe about 50 meters away, coming so fast. And I just happened to be out already and into the middle of the road, and was coming so fast. I thought, that's the end of us. Finish. And my car was not so powerful, and I was inching, you know, I pressed the accelerator. It was not moving very quickly. It was inching away. And he was coming so fast and so near. I thought, that's it, the end. But somehow, he avoided crashing onto me head on. By that time, my car already was out quite a bit, but still there was a gap, a small gap between the curb and my car. And somehow he was able to maneuver his big car around my car, right? He didn't hit my car, he didn't hit the curb. He just somehow maneuvered his way around my car with inches to spare, and then after that demon stopped, just went on. And I was there, was trembling already. And how he was able to avoid me, crashing onto me. If he had crashed onto to us, the you know, my car would have flown into the air for sure, and it would have been a wreck, and surely we would have died on the spot. And I was amazed how he could avoid us, and we were unscathed. I believe the Lord intervened. The Lord protected us. The Lord can send an angel to take hold of the steering wheel and then skillfully maneuver the car around us so that we do not get hit. God can protect. And of course, the Lord must be saying, your time is not up. Whole lot of work for you to do, right? And the Lord indeed can save us, deliver us, protect us. And he has his angels, invisible spirits, who can come in to pluck us out of danger. So the Lord can protect. So be not afraid. It is I, the Lord says. Trust in me. Know who I am. Know what I can do. I am your provider. I am your protector. And then the third thing over here, the Lord says, I am your preserver. Not only does the Lord provide for us and protect us from physical harm and danger, the Lord is not only interested in our physical life. Actually, more important is our spiritual life. The Lord is most interested, and the Lord is most concerned for that. I'm able to save your soul, preserve your life, not just physically, but also spiritually. And so over here, the Lord says, in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, I can provide you with physical bread. The 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes, I can multiply and feed you. I can feed you every day of your life. But labor not for the meat that perishes, right? But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We just memorized that. Yes, God can feed us physically. But God wants us all the more to feed on Him spiritually. And Jesus here says, I am the bread of life. I want you to eat of me so that you will never be hungry anymore. Because you know the meaning of life. You won't be afraid of death. Death has long lost its sting. Because if you have the Lord Jesus, you have life forevermore. You are not afraid of death anymore. Of course, sometimes when we are struck with a terminal illness, fear can set in, right? Death is looking you at the face. But when we don't look at ourselves, when we turn our eyes on the Lord Jesus and look at Him and know who He is and what He is to us, then all fear goes away. Do not be afraid. It is I who have saved you. I am the bread of life. And if you believe in me, death has lost its sting. You are not afraid of death. Because you know that when death comes, it is just an entrance into what? Into heaven itself. Right? The heaven itself. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You have the answers. And God can preserve our life, our salvation, unto the very end. And not only is the Lord our bread of life, we thank the Lord that the bread of life has given to us His word, which is milk, right? Spiritual milk and meat for our soul. The words of life. You know, Jesus here says, I'm the bread of life. And He's using what He had done in the feeding of the 5,000 to demonstrate that He is the bread of life, that they should be looking for Him, right? Believing in Him, not following Him because of their stomach. That's what the 5,000 wanted. They just wanted free makan, right? All the time. And they saw Jesus can provide free food for them. And so they followed Him. Not because of their heart, they wanted to believe. Because of their stomach, they want to be fed all the time. And they wanted to make Him king. And Jesus knew their heart. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to give you free makan. What is important, you must understand the miracle. You must feed. You must eat me, right? Feed on me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Or else you have no life in you, Jesus said. But they could not understand. They were thinking so carnally. They were just thinking of their stomach, the physical bread. And they thought, how ridiculous it is. You mean we must take a bite out of his body and drink his literal blood? Of course, Jesus didn't mean that. Jesus was talking about spiritual eating, spiritual drinking of his flesh and his blood. Because his flesh he will give. On the cross, he will sacrifice on the cross to save us from our sins. His blood will be shed on the cross for the remission of sin. And so when Jesus says, you eat my flesh, drink my blood, means you must consume me, you must have me inside of you. You must spiritually eat of me, believe in what I will do for you on the cross. And how I will shed my blood for the remission of sin and be raised from the dead for you. You must believe. That's why over here it says, he that believeth on me, right, shall never hunger, shall never thirst. It has to do with this spiritual eating. And finally, when the multitude saw that Jesus is not going to give them free makan, right? They all left him. They all left him. And that's why in verse 68 here, verse 66, he says, we find here, therefore said I unto you, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back. These disciples here should be in inverted commas. They are false disciples. They followed Jesus because of their stomach, not because of their heart. They went back and walked no more with him, right? They left him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And Peter gave an excellent answer. Peter understood the miracle, all right? Peter understood the words of the Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, Lord, whom shall we go? We have no one but you, because you have the words of eternal life. And Peter understood, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we believe, and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Have we believed likewise? If we have believed in the Lord in this way, the Lord can preserve our life, then there will be no fear of death. Right? Be not afraid. It is I who have what? Died for you, suffered and died for your sins, and rose from the dead. You believe in me, in the resurrection and life, you will live forever. Sometimes we become afraid because we lose sight of the Lord Jesus, right? We lose sight of the Lord Jesus. So we must think of him. Meditate on his word and think of the Lord Jesus all the time. And when we think of the Lord Jesus, we remind ourselves of who he is, right? And what he has done for us. Then all the fears will go away. I have a good and faithful Savior. And then the peace of God will come upon us. Peace that passes all understanding. So how we thank the Lord. And once he has saved us, he will save us to the very end. He is our preserver. He preserves his saints. And that's why over here in verse 39 we read, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. I should lose nothing. Not one person will be lost. Not one of his children. Not one of them will ever be lost. All will be found. All will be kept. Hundred upon hundred, thousand upon thousand. Well, there are of course so many children. Everyone will be accounted for. Everyone will reach the final shore, will reach heaven itself, will be found in God's kingdom. None will be lost. All which the Father has given me, Jesus says, I would lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So imagine that. So if we have such a God and Savior, what is there to fear? You know, our eternal life is guaranteed 100%. A lifetime warranty, in fact, eternal life time warranty. So be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord Jesus. It is I. Think of me. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at yourself. Don't look to yourself. But only look at and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is I. And I am your provider. I am your protector. And I am your preserver. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this truth.